Okay, last Sunday morning we had them, and right, but now we're back down to us. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer and get ready for our morning of worship together. And, you know, I just like to, we don't have hundreds of people here, so we got us a visitor. Who was the visitor? Tell us about our visitor.
This is Holly.
Hi.
She's from Houston, and she's my girlfriend.
Ah, all right. Okay.
And she goes to A&M, and she's in the court.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Very good. She's from Houston, and I told her I was from Houston. Now, who was it that was from Pasadena?
My grandfather.
Your grandfather? Oh, my goodness. He does remember all those days. He said, was it that what happened at Pasadena or in Houston, in Reagan?
Pasadena.
He said, how did he word it?
He said, it doesn't matter if you win the football game, but the bar fight afterwards.
And I said, that's Reagan High School. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Spend the day of the morning in the Word, worshiping and sharing with each other. Let us pray. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for your word, for your plans, for your grace. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes this morning, glorifying your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, now, we're down to the fighting few, but, you know, even if you were just by yourself and you were praying, I hope, singing, you'd sing. And I love to hear my wife just be singing there. And she doesn't say I can't sing with her, but she just prefers to hear me, her singing. But what are we going to sing?
Hymn 375.
Hymn 375, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
All right. 375. So let's stand and sing together.
Just to know the
Okay, thank you. All right, first of all, do we have any prayer requests? All right, let's move into what's going to be happening here in a couple of weeks. Why don't you tell us?
Sure. Camp starts 2 weeks from tomorrow. So please be in prayer, some specific prayers, travels for those coming to be a part of camp. So that's from all over the place, Oklahoma, Arizona, from Houston. So lots of traveling going on to get there. Please be in prayer for the teaching. That's the big group teaching. Phil and Fassel will be doing that. And so please be in prayer that the hearts will be open to the teaching of the truth. And for the small group teachers specifically, that in our preparation and in their conversations, that we can very clearly present the gospel and the good news in those conversations, and that God will just help us all understand what He wants us to know out of that.
Okay.
We met yesterday with a lot of the J crew, which is our Jesus crew, the 10th through 12th graders. We probably had 15, I would say, there, three of the junior J crew counselors. And just the beginning of starting to see the kids excited about camp coming.
Great.
Talking to them about being the oldest campers, that they really are a mentor. Those younger kids look up to them, and just in their walk with Christ, they're helping those young kids to do that too. And you could just really... seeing them start to own that and be excited about that responsibility and just doing the camp. So I would just say, continue to pray for them. They're a big part of our campus.
Okay. Now, as far as right here, Faso, is he going to come and teach to us?
He will be teaching
a week?
Sunday before camp, the 27th.
All right, so I have one Sunday and then.
Yeah, the day before camp,
yeah.
27th,
okay.
He'll be here at church.
Okay.
To give an over, teaching and an update.
Very good.
Grace Bible Church Pack.
Okay. And then this Wednesday evening, we're not going to have a Wednesday night class. Kit's going to be teaching Sunday morning, the following Sunday. And so Sunday will not be here. Having said that, I've got to tell you two things on a personal level. First of all, is talk about Chris Day, what you heard this morning. If for any reason you didn't come this morning, any reason you don't follow it, please grab it up from this Sunday morning. It was absolutely superb. So please listen to the teaching of the Word of God by Chris this Sunday morning. And then what we're doing on Wednesday night, what Kit is doing on Wednesday night, we just started getting into, and I say we because I got excited with it too, is about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit in the Gentile period of the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit in the period of the Jews, the Holy Spirit in the church age, and the Holy Spirit in the final period of the millennium. And it is unbelievable stuff. It's just amazing. I've been in the ministry for so many years, and this is just, Kit and I were talking, and we've not heard anyone from our own groups, but even ourselves. And so we need to do some work on the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Okay, now, with that in mind, anything else? All right, let's talk. Yes.
I do have a couple praise and thank yous.
Good.
So Michael Sinclair, our cousin, was on the prayer list. He was put on probably about a month ago, but he was in the ICU with COVID for quite some time.
Yes.
And he finally was able to come off the ventilator, and his sister has been sending us updates, and so he's been going through therapy, and as of yesterday, he walked like 60 feet.
Good.
Because he was in that coma, medically induced coma, for probably 6 weeks or more.
Oh.
So, yes, so praise God, he recovered, and is still recovering. And then Wednesday is Thomas's 10-year bone marrow birthday.
Is that the 10 years?
And Rick and I are going to leave for Cabo on Tuesday, so it's the first time I'm not with him. And, I mean, that's a big deal for us. We always just had a little birthday party for the, you know, the three of us, and celebrating. He's living life and Thriving and surviving, as I always say, you know.
What an answer to prayer.
It is.
We have seen God really work wonders there.
And we still will.
Yeah, and still will.
There's a lot more to come.
Really good.
So,
that was good.
Anyway, I'm just excited to share that.
Yes.
I almost forgot the praise report for Kathy Martin, Heather's mother. The cataract surgery went well, and she is really seeing very, very clearly.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, very good. Yes.
Speaking of Cabo, I know the first group we already talked about it, but Mackenzie Wise is getting married this week, so a lot of people are traveling to Cabo.
Need your prayers.
Prayers for travels, but celebration is.
Celebration and prayer for protection while there from COVID-19 and come home happily married. And so that'll be good. All right. Anything else? Okay. One more thing. Right?
Yes.
We got to talk. Yes. It's a joy and a privilege to be a part of the plan of God, teaching the young people, teaching here in our assembly, the internet outreach, and we have an opportunity to give as unto the Lord. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory and offering. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do consider it a privilege to be a part of the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray in regard to the young people coming in to our area in a couple of weeks for a week of worship. We thank you, Father, for the believers in this assembly. It'll be in Mexico. Everyone that's there, but we pray for those of assembly that'll be in Mexico. Take care of them. Bring them home. Father, we pray you receive the offerings that we're about to give. Continue to use them to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Well, we've got to have us start working a swing a little short. I can't just stand here and hem. My hemming is not very good. My hemming sounds like Hank Williams.
All
that.
Auto-tune your voice.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We can do that. Okay. Now, does anyone not have picked up three different handouts this morning? Got to have three handouts for this morning's study. Anybody not have all three? Okay. Let's begin with the word of prayer. We've got a lot to cover this morning in the study of the word of God. So let's spend a few moments in prayer, preparing the Holy Spirit to open up to the truth that is before us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is a privilege to use our time day in and day out to open this book, to allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes in it, to be taught from it. Pray, Father, your Spirit will open us this morning. Things you'd have us to see and understand. Pray these things in Christ's name and to his glory. Amen. Okay, first thing we're going to start is the one that says, oh, the millennium. So let's look at that one first. The millennium. Now the first thing we're going to do, something I've picked up doing, and I don't know how much longer, but we're going to start reading at Hebrews 6 and verses 1, 2, and 3. And people, it is so important to me that what is happening throughout the world is that Christians are not studying the Word. There are there's many that are doing gospel outreach. Listen to that on the radio, two or three different stations on the radio. But when it comes down to you and I and the study of the Word of God, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, this is what we're here supposed to do in this area. So let's just read and prepare ourselves for our study in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, That to me is just alarming. Wow, why would you start that way? Let's leave the elementary teachings about the Christ. But that's what he says doing. Let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Set these things aside now. Now I want to look at these a couple of things in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ. This is about moving on from the Messiah. Remember, the writer, whoever the writer is of the book of Hebrews, we don't know who it was, but it was the first part moving into the church age after the period of history of the Jews. That's all they really knew. That's anyone had was the Old Testament. So he says it's now time to move on from the Messiah as taught in the Old Testament, and now move on to Jesus himself. Let us press on to maturity. What this is saying here is in the middle voice, and in the Greek middle voice, it's used to emphasize individual intensive interest and moving on in learning about Jesus. Continuing, now being pressed on to maturity refers to full or complete understanding or in full growth about Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. It isn't about making money or doing all these other things. It's about growing in knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then it says, not laying again. That means at some point you've been taught. The pastor, something has been in some teaching, but it's now time again to laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and from faith toward God. Now move on to verse 2. Of instruction, we're moving on from this, about washing and laying on of hands, and about the resurrection and the dead and eternal judgment. It's time to move on from these things. Then verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. Now, we move in our study to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. I don't want to ask, and I don't want to know how many weeks, months, years we've just been in Ephesians, and all that we've gotten is number 10, verse 10. But people, this is a powerful, powerful book. Now look at verse 10. With a view to an administration. That's the Hebrew translation here is translated administration. Suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things together in Christ. Things in the heavens and things on the earth. Now, that may not make a lot of sense, but I hope by the time we get through with verse 10, it'll flow for you very simply. Now, this is where we left off last week with dispensations. So now it's time to look up in your handout now to the next one, which deals with the dispensation. Now, what we're going to do is read from a little bit of what we studied last week and then move on to where we left off. Now, dispensations. Let's start off with definition. What in the world is definition? And as a matter of fact, we could even say, what is administration? Because administration is how the New American Standard translates the Greek here. So, the administration or dispensation. What do we mean when we use the word dispensation? Let us start with the Greek word from which dispensation is derived, which this word that we have, administration, or dispensation, where does it come from? Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 translates this word as stewardship. The King James translates this word as dispensation. This was started in 1611 in the making of the writing of the dispense of the King James. The Greek is simply from the compound Greek word, just a very simple Greek word, oikos, house, just a house, plus nomos, administration. So you could say administration, stewardship, administration, something like that, of the house. So you're dealing here with, it refers to the household administration or the management of the household. Just start off with your own home. You got a home. You got administration. You got to pay the bills, take care of the various problems that you're going to have. That's all this is talking about. The administration, the going on at a place, the responsibility or arrangement of administration, the management or economy. Any of those words will work. It came to be used for the administration of a state, the whole of a state. Now, from the simple beginning, we have moved to the depth from the Merrill Unger's definition under the Unger's Bible Dictionary, which I still highly recommend. A dispensation, quote, a dispensation is an era, E-R-A, an era of time during which man is tested. Now, let me just, I don't want you to miss this. Talking about ministration, got different dispensations, different ministrations, but in each of these, they're going to be tested by God. You're going to see that. Be a test in each of these dispensations, be tested by God. Is repeated, is respect in obedience to some definite relationship of God's will in each of the dispensations. Now, there are seven such dispensations are recorded, recognized by many premillennialists. We'll talk about it. If they don't want to be a millennial, to whatever they really got. How are you going to just let's talk. How are you going to talk about the period of the Gentiles before the Jews? Do you have to say, well, they're different. So how are they going to be set apart? That's what you're looking at this point. Now, we've looked over all of that, so I've skipped a lot of it off. It's about 5 o'clock this morning, 5:30 this morning. I realized this next one, that just you have one, a little sheet and a half in here, a sheet and a half in that, and that I left out this morning, or yesterday, or this week, and getting it ready. No, I'm in your notes dealing with the millennium. Are doing with the the dispensation. So, are you with me now? And you have one little one that says, for example. The very top says, for example. For example. You got it? You with me?
Thank you.
Holly, it gets heavier. All right. So, now let's read. This is where we left off last week. This is where we left off right here last week. For example, in the first dispensation, known as the Age of the Gentiles, which covers from the period of Adam and Eve after taken out of the Garden of Eden to period beginning with Israel. After the flood, it was known, in this time frame, it was known as human government. Here, spiritually, the husband is the spiritual authority in the home. No church, no kind of ministration. This was who was going to be the authority in the home. It was the head of the house, of the marriage. Now, where are we today? Let's destroy marriage. Let's destroy home. Let's destroy family. And you give all that stuff out. That's what Satan wants to do. We have to, can do that. And if it has to be, we'll be studying this a little later. But we just have to forget ourselves. Forget about, I know this isn't going to come across good. Let's just forget about America. Let's forget about our nations. Let's just think about the Bible. And the Bible, how we live today, how we're to live in our marriage, in our home, take it, that into consideration. That's all. And so, then God's plan, this period of history, the test, the administration, the husband is the spiritual authority and leader, while the government, the development of the government, was established by God. Satan desires to destroy and change the government. But this is God's plan. So we'll take a look somewhere in this study. You've got the free will of man, then you've got marriage, and then you've got the government. All in this first period of the dispensation. Now continuing. But in the next age, things are changed greatly. Overall, it was known as the Age of Israel. First, it was the period. Now, when I say first, the first part of the Age of Israel, it will have different parts. So the first part of the Age of Israel is known as the Promise, which covered from Abraham to Moses. Spiritually, it was centered on the Abrahamic covenant. The next period of the Age of Israel is known as the Law. First, when you think about the Law, first, this was when each of the 12 tribes was under its individual rule. Each of the 12 tribes had individual authority and rule, and spiritually headed by a priest in each of the tribes. But also, in tribe coming, the period of the kings, kings came in, where all the tribes were under the kings. Now, this gets complicated. It was King Saul, King David, King Solomon, but then it's going to change to different kings, different rule, but let's just stay with the ideal of kings. Kings will be there, and the rule, spiritually, will be by the priest. However, in many of these periods of Israel, in the Age of Israel, others are in authority, such as the scribes and prophets, who were teachers and leaders appointed by God. They're not priests. They're just people that are picked up to be scribes and prophets of God at this time in history. Now, that takes care of that one. Next is the Age of the Church. It's our age. This period of the dispensation began with the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. I guess I should start with the birth to do it right. We'll start with the birth of Christ and then go to the closing toward of the end of the age of Israel to the death of Jesus Christ, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Here, the pastor teacher is teaching the truth to each individual local church. No one is designed by God to have an authority over more than one local church. But again, each period, this is very important, each period of dispensation, Gentile, Israel, church, is saved by the same gospel of faith in the Messiah or in the coming of Jesus. So this salvation is always the same. I could just talk to you. Test will change. Gentiles, Israel, church, history, the test from God will change. The gospel does not change. The gospel is the same in every one. Now continuing. After the period of the church age, the history of mankind continues in the last 7 years of the 490 years period promised to Israel. This was in the period of when Israel went into the captivity. Now, the period is known this period, tribulation. After this seven-year period, Jesus Christ returns to the earth, putting an end to wars with the earth of the on earth with the battle of Armageddon, and the return to Israel for the marriage of the Lamb in Jerusalem, and setting forth 1,000 years known as the period of the millennium. So you got the millennium in here. Here, Jesus Christ Himself is the King, ruler, spiritual head of the entire world. Now, while this is true, the gospel is the same in every stage of dispensations. But man believes the gospel, but he will be tested in different periods of history in different ways. So it's very smart to know where you are in history. What is the test that's under me? Am I in the age of the Gentiles? Is that my test? The age of Israel? Is that my test? The church age? Is that my test? Millennium? Is that my test? See, the test is going to change throughout history. But gospel remains the same. Now, let's look at a summary of dispensations. Or, if you like, stewardships. So, this period. One, a period of history expressed in terms of divine revelation. Two, divine outline of human history. Three, divine viewpoint of human history. Four, divine interpretation of human history. God's system of government, government segments of history, of human history, where each segment is known as a dispensation that we've been looking at. So, we've looked at the creation of man in beginning of the church, or beginning of the dispensation of the Gentiles. Free will is found by God. Marriage is designed by God. Government is designed by God. These are designed by God for the stability of human race throughout all history. Now, let's go to Roman numeral 2. There are basically four dispensations or segments of human history. whichever word you want to use. A, period of the Gentiles. That's from Adam to Abraham. Period, secondly, the period of the Jews from Abraham to the cross. C, the church, the mystery from the cross to the rapture, technically from the day of Pentecost to the rapture. D, the millennium, from the physical return of Jesus Christ to earth to the end of the millennium or the end of human history. Now, what about the tribulation? I went through those, but I didn't mention the 7 years of the tribulation. Remember that the period of history known as the tribulation is the last 7 years promised to Israel by God after the return from the Babylonian captivity. So it is under the period of the Jews. They will be put to test just as the Jews were. Now, in this segment, let's look at the period of the Gentiles. Let's look at it now, slow it down a little bit to learn. Period of the Gentiles is subdivided by some students of the word in the following way. First of all, innocence. Innocence. This is before the fall of Adam and Eve. It begins with man in innocence and in perfect environment. Adam and Eve in the garden. They were given one simple test. Remember, test is very important to the study of dispensations. What's the test? What's the test? What's the test? At this point in history, the period of innocence had one test, just one, eating of the tree that was forbidden. The woman fell through being deceived, while the man fell deliberately. People, all of this is so long and so involved. Understanding the fall of the woman, understanding the fall of the man. One of the most beautiful things about the fall of Eve or Adam is a picture of Jesus Christ. He's going to choose to die. He's going to choose to die for all mankind on the cross. So there's a likeness going on. But anyway, the man was deliberately fell, and even though God save both the original man and woman, this period ended in judgment and being expelled from the garden. Now, I cannot tell you how important in this type of study of Hebrews chapter 6, of just getting understanding of the Bible. If you do not understand the first seven, the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, you'll miss the whole Bible. It is so crucial to grasp that. And part of that is the creation of man and woman and the fall of man and woman. Now, this will go into the conscience. Here God set up a dispensation of the family and coming to Him on the basis of sacrifices, looking forward to the teaching and the coming of the Messiah and His suffering on the cross. This segment of history, we'll call it dispensation if you wish, was characterized by human generation, degeneration, and ended with judgment of the flood. Understanding the flood is so important in history. People, if you don't understand the flood, you don't understand God's right to judge mankind, to judge the whole human race as He judged at the flood. Now, that's the first period. Now we go to the second, period of the Jews. This begins with Abraham, the first Jew, and the beginning of the Jewish race, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the only race of the human race that is by regeneration, born again. This period of history ended in disaster by Israel rejecting their Messiah, sending the Son of God to the cross. Now, this is just another area that is so important to understanding the whole development of this period of history. But we'll just go on one. The first two or three dispensations began with man in harmony with God, but ended in total failure of sin. Two, the last two dispensations, the church and the millennium, dispensations begin with God and therefore will not end in failure but in glory. Now, this brings us now to the third section. The church age begins with the Holy Spirit and ends in the glorious rapture. There is failure in the church age, but it will end in glory. And then D, the last dispensation, the millennium, begins with 1,000 years, begins with Jesus Christ, the God-man, and will end in glory. Now, just for your thought process, civilizations always begin with believers. If you have a Bible, if you're looking at it and you're studying, if it's a dispensation, if it's a civilization, it begins with believers. Adam and Eve, the antediluvian, that is the anti-flood. And then the Noah and his family, post-diluvian. Then the millennium. All of these are starting by believers only. Millennium, only believers only. And then finally, eternity begins with believers. Unbelievers will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. So, a civilization in the Bible begins with believers only. Adam and Eve, Noah and his family, millennium, all unbelievers are taken out before going into the millennium, and then, of course, eternity, future. Next, dispensations begin with believers. Just a little different way to look at this. They're looking at believers. First of all, age of Gentiles, Adam and Eve. Secondly, age of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three, church age, believers indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And then four, millennium, Jesus Christ, and all believers from the tribulation. Now, that takes us now to Roman numeral 3. If you have any questions, raise your hand as we go through this. 3, necessity of understanding dispensations. The necessities of understanding dispensations. Understanding stewardships. There are, of course, those who do not believe in or object to the idea of dispensations. Some of these objections, some of these objections are to points that are not characterized in biblical dispensation. This comes in from Dr. Ivory. In other words, what he's saying here is some people that object to dispensations are objecting on grounds that hadn't even, not even in the Bible. It's something they've made up. Now, accurately, understanding dispensations is dependent on three essentials. To understand dispensations demands three essentials. First, literal, grammatical, historical interpretation of the Word of God. It's not a lot of preachers don't like to do anymore. This is what you're given to do. study literally, grammatically, historically the Bible. And the key here is to be consistent in your interpretation of the Word of God. If one spiritualizes parts of the Bible, allegorizes them, they will, of course, never correctly understand dispensations. Before you begin talking to somebody in a discussion about dispensations, be sure you start a discussion how to interpret the Word of God. How do you interpret? How do you understand it? So the first part of being correct in understanding dispensations is literal, grammatical, historical interpretation, or the correct interpretation of the Bible. Secondly, Israel and the church are distinct dispensations, are different government rules by God. The church does not replace Israel. It does not replace Israel. And three, the purpose of human history, and I want to read here under Ronald Showers, states it beautifully, the ultimate purpose of history is the glory of God through the demonstration that He alone is the sovereign God. Let me repeat that. You should have it in front of you. The ultimate purpose of history is the glory of God through the demonstration that He alone is the sovereignty of God. This is so beautifully stated in the Lord's Prayer in John 17. Let's just read and look at it as we go through. John 17, 1 starting. Jesus spoke these things, lifted up His eyes to heaven. He's alone. Lifted up His eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come, coming to the cross. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You. Even as You gave Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom You have given to Him, He, Jesus Christ, may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I glorified You on the earth, having accomplished the work which You have given Me. Now, Father, glorify Me together with Yourself with glory. That brings us to point four in our study, Roman numeral four, difference between dispensations of Israel and the church. This is so important, I want to make it separate to its own self. Because a lot of people today believe that the church replaced Israel. People, it didn't replace Israel at all. If you say that the church has replaced Israel, that means the promise to Israel is not going to be fulfilled by God. God isn't going to keep His word. If you say, well, they're not going to come and take over the rule of Jerusalem again, they're not going to happen. Well, He's got to happen. This is part of the promise of God. So let's notice some things. One, the age of Israel began with Abraham and included all the covenants of Israel. So if you take him out, God isn't going to be kept His word. Two, it also included the giving of the law because the people were rebellious against God. Study of Deuteronomy 5. Three, this age also included the prophecy of the birth, death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ. All of that is in the period of the age of Israel. Four, but this dispensation, church age, knew nothing of the church to come. They knew nothing about it. This was a mystery hidden from them. Jesus Christ was born and lived and died in the age of Israel. 6. Jesus Christ was the first prophet of the coming of the church. Matthew 16. Therefore, the Sermon on the Mount, the Disciples' Prayer, and what's called the Disciples' Prayer, and even the Olivet Discourse, part of Matthew 24 and 25, not part of this age. Not part of this age. So if you study those, you're looking at the coming of Christ. Now 7, the age of Israel, including the law, is not pertinent to the way we are to live in the church age. The age of Israel, including the church, the law, is not pertinent to the way we are to live in the church age. The believer's way of life in the church age is found in the book of Acts and epistles of Romans to Jude, Revelations 1 through 4. It is about the Holy Spirit. And then finally, 8, radical differences between the dispensation of Israel and the church age. Just the strongest, most radical things. Excuse me, I've picked out 4. First, priesthood. Priesthood in Israel, specialized. The family of Aaron. In the church, priesthood, universal of all believers. Every person is a believer in Jesus Christ in the church age is a universal believer. Secondly, Holy Spirit. This is getting exciting to Kit and I. Alright, Kit, we look at the Holy Spirit under Israel, endowment, certain people. So what were some of the other words you had, endowment?
Endowment was one.
Endowment?
I started using something like bestowed or...
Yep. Okay, so those are different things, words you come up with in Israel, the Holy Spirit. Church age, indwelling. Every person believed in Jesus Christ as Savior is filled or is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, it may be you believe in Jesus Christ, and within the next 5 hours, you get out, and never get back in. But you cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, revelation. Israel, visions, this means biblical revelation. Visions, certain people. Church, completed canon of Scripture, prophets of the Scriptures. Now we close with Roman numeral 5. Categorical outline of dispensations. Categorical outline of dispensations. 1, theocentric, God-centered. Dispensation of Gentiles, dispensation of the Jews. 2, Christocentric, Christ-centered, church age. 3, eschatological dispensation, the tribulation and the millennium. Now another way of just looking at this, I made my own notes here. God is the first rule, and that happened in Genesis in the garden. Next is Satan. Satan is the ruler from the beginning, after the beginning into church, into getting into human history, all the way through the tribulation. He is the ruler. Jesus Christ will be ruler in the millennium. So, with these things in mind, let's go back now to your notes, and we will go to your page 3. Page 3 of your notes. Oh, the millennium. I'm sorry about this, but I wanted you to have the finish of work that we did last week, but also complete You start now the next one. Ephesians 1:10. This brings us into the trouble. With a view, reading now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, with a view to an administration or dispensation suitable to the fullness of the age. View to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, or with a view to a dispensation of the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ. See, if we can make this simple, we're looking at it, fullness of the times and the summing up of all things in Christ. Now, let me see if we can work a little bit on this. This is where we could slow down. Some are not going to like this. But this is what the reading of the Hebrews chapter 6 is about. Put the things here. Let's move on. Let's get an understanding of things. Let's look at the fullness of times. Now, you will note it in Ephesians 1:10. Suitable to the fullness of the times. So let's look at the fullness of the times. The Greek word for fullness is a rich word. It carries three or four concepts of this word. This took several hours for me to get this down to just make it simplify for us. But it carries three or four concepts to understand fullness of the times. It occurs four times in the book of Ephesians. 1:10, fullness of times. 2, Ephesians 1:23, fullness of Him.
We're on page 2, halfway down.
Yeah.
Page 3.
2.
You have a different...
Yeah. Oh, yes. Matt, and let me explain to you why I have a different one. Matt, that's exactly what it is. That is real big. Very good.
We all know that.
Very good. Thank you. So, this is the fullness of times. In Ephesians 1:10, Ephesians 1:23, fullness of Him, 3:19, fullness of God, and 4:13, fullness of Christ. So we have four different words talked about in Ephesians. Fullness of times, fullness of Him, fullness of God, fullness of Christ. What does it mean, fullness? What is fullness of Christ? What is fullness of Him? What is fullness of God? What is the fullness of Christ? These are the things we need to know. These Greek words can have up to four different emphases when you pull them up now. From a study of the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament, let's take a look at them. Four of them. One, particularly meaning the contents of the earth, as in 1 Corinthians 10:26. For the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Two, used figuratively, not really, but figuratively, meaning fullness, full measure of abundance, full measure of God, as in Ephesians 3:19, or fullness all in the church of Christ, as in Ephesians 1:23. So that takes care of two of them in our study, Ephesians. Now three, fulfillment, full completion or as in the as in our study in Ephesians 1:10, fulfillment of time or the full period of time. Now, four, or as in Ephesians 4:13, it refers to completeness, reaching the intended goal, or to reach full maturity in Christian knowledge and love, that is, until we all obtain the unit of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the statute which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, let me just go back over. We've got one, fullness, contents of the earth. Two, fullness as complete, meaning fullness, measure. Three, fulfillment, completion, or, as in our study, fulfillment of time. And then the fourth is completion of time. This is why we read through Hebrews 1:6, reaching to maturity. Now let's go take a look at Ephesians 1:10 of what we just noted. 1:10. With a view to the administration, to the fullness of the times. That is, to the fulfillment of the times. Okay, this is going to open up a whole other part, so we'll just pause here and start it here next Sunday, because Freeman won't be here the next. Yeah, that'll be the next Sunday. Yeah, so next week we'll complete, we'll work again on Ephesians 1:10, see if we can get some more of this done. Any question of where we are? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray your Spirit will open our mind and eyes and see the period of histories, the dispensations, stewardships, your divide, your parting out periods of history, how you've set up test changing in each dispensation, in each period. Why we need to understand these things. Why we need to grow to knowledge of Christ, to understand your rule of the whole world and of all human history. Pray, Father, your Spirit now will take the things we've seen, let these things settle into our souls, thinking, will grasp and understand these truths and how important they are to our daily life. To this it, Father, we do pray in Christ's name and to his glory. Amen. Real quick, first one was this gold one. They're orange, yellow. These are just three or four dispensational charts. I don't even remember who did them. And I'm not going to make money out of it, so I'm not going to be worried about it. But this one just is a major look of dispensations. Man before the flood, man after the flood, Adam, Moses, Christ, tradition, a tribulation, kingdom. And then the different words with each one. Next one, colors, different colors, and you come with Eden. That's Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam, and then the Gentiles, begins the period of the Gentiles. Then you go to the period of Israel, Abraham, Exodus, all dealing with the Exodus. Got the cross, period of the cross. That is Pentecost, day of the first day of the church, church age. Then you end the rapture, meeting Christ in the clouds, tribulation. And then Jesus Christ returns with Christ to the earth, and then the 1,000-year reign of Christ and eternity. Okay? Very quickly. Not going to go through all of this. When you've got it in print, you can go over. You'll see innocence, conscience, government, promise, law, grace, kingdom, and then eternity future. So this is, separates all of this for you, and you can sit down, and it is going to be very good. Now, the one that really is going to test you is this, the last one. It is heavy. He's done a lot of work, whoever wrote it, did a lot of work on it, but it just, you can go through it. You pick out, you see the cross right there in the middle, so you kind of know what's going to be here, what's going to be here. So that'll be another study of yours. So those are just for your education. Let's close, and now look for you next Sunday morning.